Well, I have a question for you this morning. Do you love me? It's a question actually that is sung by one of the main characters in one of my favorite Broadway musicals, Fiddler on the Roof. Just out of curiosity, how many of you have actually seen or witnessed or heard the songs to Fiddler on the Roof? Well, that's quite a few of you. For those of you who haven't, it's a play that is focused on the story of a Russian Jewish immigrant family. It's a play about love, about the way love works, about the work of love in one family and in one country. It's a play about the nature of love, about the work of love in this family and the complicated relationship between the love of God and the people of God, specifically the people of God living in this small village in Anatevka in Russia at the turn of the 20th century. In one scene, Tevye, the dairyman, who is the main character of the play and who asks the hard questions of the play, is telling his wife, Golda, that he has decided to give permission to Perchik to become engaged to his second oldest daughter, Hodl, the man that she loves, despite the fact that marrying for love runs against the traditions of their people for generations. In fact, in their day, marriages were arranged, sometimes from the time that they were children. And so he says to his wife, Golda, I have decided to give permission to Perchik to become engaged to our daughter. And Golda says, what? He's poor. He has nothing, absolutely nothing. And Tevye says, he's a good man, Golda. I like him. And what's more, Hodl likes him. Hodl loves him. So what can we do? It's the new style. It's the new world. And in this new world, love. And Tevye stops and asks the poignant question in a song. Golda, do you love me? And the story that comes out in the song is that theirs was actually an arranged marriage like everybody else that they knew. And he and Golda speak clearly for the first time about the day that they got married, their fears, their nervousness at not knowing what was going to lie ahead. And so Tevye sings, but my father and my mother said we'd learn to love each other. And so I ask you, Golda, do you love me? It's a question, in a way, of the whole play. It's the core question of the play. Zeidel, his daughter, asks her father if he loves her enough to find happiness with the man that she loves. Hodl and Chava, the second and third daughters, each of them asked the same thing, each being even farther away from the traditions of their people's past. Each of them asked, do you love me more than you love tradition? Do you love me more than you love how people think of you? And Tevye asks in multiple ways the same question of God. Do you love me? God, if you love me, why can't I be rich? God, if you love me, why do my people have to suffer? Why am I persecuted? Why are our people persecuted? And at one point in the play, Tevye comments on being part of the chosen people. He says to God, I know we are your chosen people, but once in a while, couldn't you choose someone else? And Tevye asked a question that many of us in this room may ask ourselves from time to time. If God loves me, then why don't I feel loved? We experience loss and injury and misfortune, and sometimes those experiences feel random, and so we ask the question, why me? Why, God, do you love me really? In spite of our experience, the Bible tells us that God loves us. And not just that God loves us, the Bible tells us that God is love. It dares to make the bold assertion that God is love. It's a claim about the nature of God that none of the other scriptures or writings or philosophies of the world's religions can claim. God is love. In the time of the history of the Abrahamic monotheism, there existed other religions that were polytheistic. They had many gods, and their gods reflected the way they experienced life, experienced the world. Their gods were fickle and petty and powerful and deadly. And while their gods may have said that they loved things, they never said that they loved humanity. And the nation Israel was surrounded on all sides with this polytheistic view of the divine. There were gods everywhere, and there were gods over everything, each god taking his or her little piece. They did what they did, and they could not be relied upon. So humans had to appease them at all costs, because you never could tell if God would become angry and smite you for something. And so you had to offer sacrifices and do things nice for the God so the God would be nice to you. They might smite you randomly, but they were mostly portrayed as immature and fickle and angry and harmful. This was the experience of the religions and the cultures outside and around the people of Israel. But the people who became Israel experienced God from the very beginning as love. In the Old Testament, the Hebrew word, which is translated into English as love, is chesed. Say it with me, chesed. It's a guttural sound. It comes from the deep in the throat. It's the Hebrew word for love. Most of the English translations will say that it means love or loving kindness, but the reality is it really is more about faithfulness. It's about loving someone come what may. It's about commitment. It's about loyalty. It's about stick-to-itness. And so in the Old Testament lesson today, the 36th Psalm that we read earlier, the psalmist sings of the goodness and the greatness of God, who is characterized by and who acts out of this abundant, steadfast love, chesed, for his people. Your love, O Lord, he sings, reaches to the heavens, your faithfulness to the skies. Your righteousness is like the mighty mountains, your justice like the great deep. How priceless is your unfailing love, chesed. That's what the psalmist is singing about. And so in the answer to the question, do you love me? God replies to generation after generation, do I love you? I made you. I brought you out of slavery. I've given you everything that you have, everything that you see. I've never abandoned you. I've given you every chance to become like me. I've always been with you. And like Golda in Fiddler on the Roof, God says, if that's not love, what is? The Old Testament answer to the question of do you love me is centered around God's activity, the things that God does for us, much of which Nancy was sharing just a while ago. It comes out of what God has done. God can be seen in his activity in the Old Testament as a faithful one, as one who has never contradicted his nature. He has always acted. He has always behaved towards his people in a loving manner. That's just the way God operates. In the New Testament, which was written in the Greek language, the word there is agape. It's a word that the the Christians embraced and used to refer to their God. There are other words in the Greek language that they could have used, eros, which is another way of saying erotic or physical pleasure, or phileos, which is brotherly or emotional love, but agape was different. Agape expressed a self-sacrificial, unconditional word, love. It's the word that the gospel writer John uses in referring to the amazing sacrifice of God's Son Jesus on the cross and his resurrection. We know it well. I hope you remember it. John 3:16, say it with me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so when the world asks the question, do you love me? God's answer is Jesus. God sends himself into the world in the form of a little baby born in Bethlehem. God invests himself in human skin and participates with the world in a loving way. He shows the world a participating love, a love that engages us with us and works through us to engage the world. And so in Jesus, we see a God who's not content to simply intimidate or to ignore. This is a God who dignifies the whole of creation by becoming a part of it so that we might participate with him in the creation of a new world order. This God revealed to us in Jesus came preaching love and peace, inclusion and protection, healing sick people and feeding hungry people food and wine, touching untouchables and bringing inappropriate guests to lunch. He stood up to power, and when they killed him, he refused to stay dead. This is a demonstration of God's divine love for us, that a man would be willing to lay down his life for his friends. Or as the Apostle Paul said in Romans 5:8, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Our experience of this world can cause us to question God, much like the people of ancient religions would question their gods that are unpredictable and hostile. You and I experience loss and injury and tragedy, and our experience of those things causes us to think that God doesn't love us anymore. But as Peter James Gomes has written, I do not believe that God moves in thunderstorms or speaks in the accents of natural disasters. I do not believe that God interferes in the often tragic course of the world's activity. I do not believe that God is a great puppeteer who somehow pulls the strings for good or bad, depending on his temper or for ours. Rather, I believe that God has made the world and loves it so much that he has given himself into our hands and thus made his work our opportunity. God has chosen to act in the form of men and women, boys and girls, who know him and love him and serve him. He goes on to say, by God's love for us in Jesus Christ, we become in ourselves, in our own persons, in our daily work, evidence, living proof that God is still alive and that he is at work in the likes of you and me. So then we become not simply objects of a benevolent or a wrathful or an indifferent God, pieces of furniture to be arranged at will, but rather we are empowered to act on God's behalf in the world, to convey to the world the answer to the world's question, do you love me? Scripture today calls us, challenges us, implores on us to believe the word of love, the challenge of love. Dear friends, John says, since God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. We become vehicles. We become channels of God's love into the world. Love breaks into the world through Jesus and through His Spirit living in us. We take the bold step of faith, of daring to love everyone, our friends and our enemies, blacks and whites, gays and straights, people who are easy to get along with, people who are difficult. Then God, when we allow ourselves to love other people, the Scripture says God lives in us and His love is made complete in us. In the final notes of their song, Tevye and Golda admit that they do, in fact, love each other. She sings, "For 25 years I've lived with him, fought with him, starved with him. 25 years my bed was his. If that's not love, what is?" And then Tevye triumphantly sings, "Then you love me." And she says very meekly, "I suppose I do." And then Tevye says, "Then I suppose I love you too." And then together they sing, "It doesn't change a thing, but after all, after 25 years, it's nice to know." Yeah, it's really true. In some ways, the circumstances of life don't always change. We still experience tough stuff. Tragedy still comes our way. The world, as good as it might be, is still imperfect. And so those things that happen to us, pain and loss and tragedy, still come at us. But in the midst of the world's imperfections, the Bible's promise is this: God relates to us out of His supreme love for us. Or as the Apostle Paul wrote to his friends who were besieged by persecution and hatred on the part of the Romans, in the 8th chapter of his letter to the Romans, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ?" And then he lists all of those adversarial circumstances that we face in life. "Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or sword?" No, he says. "In all of these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation shall be able to separate us, shall be able to shake us loose from the love of God that is in Jesus Christ." And that love, trustworthy, steadfast, loyal to the end, love that is loving us come what may, that love that has come into the world through Jesus to be with us, to live among us, to live and to die and to be resurrected so that His Spirit can come alive in us and give us the ability to extend that same love that we have received to the world around us. May it be so in our lives today, this week, and always. Would you pray with me? We're grateful, Lord, that You have given us the answer to the question that even sometimes in our faith, in our weakest moments, we may ask, "Do You love us, really?" But take us back to Jesus. Take us back to that simple reminder that we have when we look at the cross and we're reminded that You have demonstrated in the best way that You know how, You love us in the life and death and resurrection of Your Son Jesus. And I pray, oh God, that not only will we be able to believe that, but that we will be able to live out that truth in our lives, that the world in which we live will know the answer to the question of your love. They'll know that we are Christians. They'll know that we are your people by our love. Guide us, O God, and strengthen us and empower us to live in that love and to express that love. We pray in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.